We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch. And I'm very thankful to be joined by Rohan Kadi. Rohan, happy belated Thanksgiving. And we've got a lot to be thankful for. The Bucks, after really rope-a-doping us against Cleveland, have come out, beat the Cavs, a good team, beat the Mavericks as we record tonight, Sunday night, another good team, and some fun stuff to talk about in these games. So, sir, how are you doing and how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was great. It was great seeing friends, family. It's a good time. You know, embrace your loved ones during the holidays, yeah. No matter what you celebrate. It was good. Hopefully you had fun with you and yours, Ty. But it was a fun time. And of course, we're thankful for the Milwaukee Bucks and their winning ways. But before we go anywhere,
yes,
or start anything, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this, watching this, YouTube, podcast platform of choice. Just, you know, Tap a follow, subscribe button, depending on your platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very simple.
And I want to say, you know, I think I speak for all of us, not just here, but at GSPN at large. Very thankful for all you listeners. Because
of course.
This would be pretty boring without you guys. Quite honestly, it would just be like, I don't know, would we just call each other on the phone and talk? Maybe we would, but I think it would still be fun, but it's not as fun. And we're right now, if you're not aware, we're doing a giveaway. So if you're not yet in the GSPN Discord, go to gspn.info, join that bad boy, win a Wisconsin Herd signed basketball. We'll mail it to you. All you have to do is join the Discord, go to the new giveaway entry channel. It's at the bottom. It's the last text channel. Just drop in your favorite memory or part about this or any GSPN podcast. We'll pick a winner sometime in December to send that ball to. We've got double-digit entries already after announcing this last week, right before a holiday week. So appreciate everyone who's gotten in there already. And if you haven't yet, if you're a new listener, if you've been around since the early Rohan and Ty days or the early Adam and Jordan and Ty days, whatever it may be, feel free to join, enter. We appreciate you all. We are thankful for all of you. So thanks.
Yeah, for sure. I echo everything Ty just said. And thankful for all of you. Make sure you get in on that. But Ty, let's talk about some Bucks basketball. And specifically, let's talk about the big double Ds that are propelling the Bucks to victory right now.
Oh, no.
Defense and depth.
Oh, Rohan. Oh, I mean, who isn't thankful for the big double Ds propelling the Bucks? Am I right? Let's talk about it. Defense and depth. Defense and the deep bench. As we have in the podcast title here, the parents, I know we have parents who listen. They're turning this off in disgust already. No, I feel like it whatever. Which one should we hone in on first? Defense? Maybe defense, just because I think it won't take too long to cover this. But it's worth discussing. I don't know if we've talked about it enough. It's kind of defense is to the Bucks like three or four factors as Giannis is to the players. We're like, yeah, the defense is great, thankfully. Let's spend 40 minutes on how the offense could be better and what's working and what's not working. The defense is, as we have said, the reason the Bucks are, what are they now, 14-5, one of the best records in the NBA. I think the second best in the league now, only Boston is better, and Boston is a freaking buzzsaw. But Brook Lopez, I think you have to start with him when you're talking about defense. What do you have against Dallas? Four blocks again? Six blocks against Cleveland? Like, we know blocks aren't everything. Like, that's, it's not an equal correlation. But with Brook, it kind of is. And really, I think we've talked about in years past, like, he can be a great rim defender without blocking the ball. I think it speaks to how spry he's looking, that he's still defending the rim at a high level outside of the blocks, but also just swatting things left. He had a chase down against Dallas. When's the last time Brook Lopez had a chase down block? Like,
I didn't know he could run. I didn't know he could run that fast.
He legitimately like looks better every game. It's wild. Like, they're not giving him nights off. He's playing a bunch. He's playing a lot of minutes. Only 23 in this game because of some foul trouble and because the Mavs were just stretching him out a little bit. So he's out on the perimeter at the top of the key. What does he do? Gets a steal, kind of locks up Luka before he gets called for a foul. He is doing everything. That man is DPOY. I don't think it should be close. And thankfully, you know, even without the homer bias that we may have, you know, people aren't saying it's not close. But I think I am seeing a lot of sentiment around the league from coverage. Like, yeah, that guy should be DPOY so far. He is by far the most impactful defensive player in the league. I think there's no debating it. Like, he is the straw that stirs the drink, one of your favorite new expressions, for the Bucks defense.
He truly is. And I've seen a lot of sentiment like, oh, how is Brook going to be able to win defensive player of the year when he has like maybe the best guard defender in the league on his
maybe
team?
Maybe the best too.
And maybe the most versatile defender in the league in Giannis Antetokounmpo, also on his team.
Yeah.
But just the way that Brook is contesting shots at the rim, I believe he leads the league in contested shots at the rim this season.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
It's remarkable what he's doing. The way that the Bucks play defense in a drop scheme and try to let people challenge Brook, they can challenge Brook all they want, Ty, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. It hasn't worked this season. And that's why Brook is probably the defensive player of the year, as you said. However, Giannis looked amazing in this Dallas game.
He did. My thing with Giannis is he's a great defender. There's just so many plays where he just clearly doesn't try. And I get it. I'm not criticizing him for it. But like, there's just once or twice a game, it feels like, especially, you know, games against teams like the Bulls, who the Bucks lost to partially for this reason. You know, maybe the less competitive games where you just see like he's clearly the guy who should close out to a shooter and he just doesn't. And it's like, you know, I understand we'll get to offense. Kind of problematic. He leads the league in usage percentage. I feel like there's this storyline of, you know, Luka's usage percentage is way too high and Embiid's is super high. Those guys are 3-2 respectively. Giannis number one heading into the Mavs game. It's kind of a problem. He's probably being asked to do or at least doing too much. I don't know if he's asked to do too much, but he's a great defender. I do think Brook's possession to possession defensive impact stands out more. Also, it helps, you know, the Bucks defense is really built to rely on Brook in a way it's not for Giannis. I think the reason there is obvious. One, Brook does defend the rim better than Giannis. No one in the league, maybe Gobert, but otherwise.
Not this season.
No. Well, a lot going on in Minnesota, the 10-10 Timberwolves. But he's just like, he's so good at being that force down there. And you're obviously not asking as much of Brook on the offensive end. He's come through there a ton this season, which is great. But I do think Brook, to me, clearly, even with Giannis and Drew on the team and Javon Carter on the team, has stood out as like, okay, he's that dude on defense and on offense, like all-star.
Oh, yeah.
Point contest.
Oh, yeah.
MVP candidate, most improved player.
What center, let's say in the East, is playing better than Brook?
It's Embiid, and that's it.
Embiid's not playing right now.
Oh, okay. You know what? Fair. Miles Turner over the last week, He's really trying to speed up this trade thing, man.
He wants to be. He's already bought a home in LA.
Oh yeah.
He's trying to figure out who's going to take who's going to do the moving with him and Buddy Hield, trying to split the load.
Split the U-Haul.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. But yeah, Brook, just as a defender, you're right when you set it up top. I feel like it's easy to say, yeah, they're doing a good job. But it's also like, what more can we say about it at this point? I mean, I guess we can talk about it in the context of the Bulls game. Because I did not catch that game. You did. I caught some highlights. But it seemed like the Bucks had sort of reverted to their old scheme in the sense that they were over-helping on screening actions and stuff like that and not allowing sort of Brook to be trusted in that role. Not to say like he's not trusted, but in you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like not letting people just go challenge Brook. They were trying to do too much around that, and that was part of their downfall. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I would say that. I think it stood out in that Bulls game for sure. You know, certainly in the Sixers game that they also lost the week before. You know, that one was even more blatant because it's like Embiid who's on Brook. At one point, he was like 9-for-22 in that game. And the Bucks are just sending these really lazy double teams. And it's like, don't do that. Like, if there's anyone on the team you should trust one-on-one, it's Brook Lopez. And obviously, Drew and Giannis are up there too. But I do think you look around this team and it's like, okay, the level of defenders the Bucks have, you really don't need to help most of the time. And especially when they want to go late and like insert a guy like Wesley Matthews, George Hill, who holds up okay. If not, he's not stopping anyone, but he's a good positional defender at this point. Pat Connaughton, I think, has had a great defensive season. We'll talk more about Pat in a bit. But I'll say I think they did a little bit too much of that against Chicago as well. Kind of just a lazy effort against the Bulls, too. I really liked the way they approached Luka Doncic in the Mavericks game tonight.
How'd you pronounce that?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah. Someone should tell Lisa that.
Luka Doncic.
Doncic. I love you, Lisa, but that was a little rough.
Doncic. But no, what did you think about that? The way they basically... I think the correct terminology is they're showing on pick and rolls, but basically like they're putting two guys in front of Luka and trying to cover the passing and shot angles. But what I liked is they weren't actually switching most of the game. Like Drew or Wes would then get back to him and they would just rotate around behind. Like they gave up some open looks because of this. I do like that approach to guarding a superstar like Luka better than just sending a double. Like, you know, let the screener defender help a little bit, but then get back. Like, don't just let him pick you apart. It didn't always work. And I mean, the Mavs scored a lot of points. Luka had 12 assists and nearly 30 points, as one does. But I did think, you know, I thought it worked well enough. And I thought it was something we don't usually see from Milwaukee.
Yeah. And they did go to more of a switching scheme on Luka pick and rolls in the fourth quarter a lot. I think our buddy Jake Reitz, pointed that out is because Luka tends to go more isolation heavy in the fourth quarter, so it's easier to switch those actions. But it's interesting you point that out because a lot of the other actions, like off ball actions and just like non Luka involved screens, the Bucks were switching those. They were happy to switch those early, which is why you saw a lot of Brook Lopez cross matches and stuff like that, and where you would even see possessions where Giannis was on Luka and stuff like that. And Giannis, the one possession that he had that was stood out in particular, he clamped up Luka.
Yeah, he did. Possession. That clip was going around for sure.
But yeah, it's interesting to see the Bucks. Like, we've talked about this for the last couple seasons now. The Bucks just throwing out multiple defensive schemes in one game, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. They're just trying to get ready, buy their time for the playoffs, so they'll be ready for anything. And it's actually good to see that being put in practice because the Dallas Mavericks are probably the most playoff-esque regular season team.
Yeah.
Right? When you say that, because they entirely play like they're a postseason team, because that's just how you play with Luka.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of Luka, do everything, please, and let's see how it works.
Yeah. No, yeah, and that's a good point. Brook has not defended the most shots. Well, this is within 6 feet, so maybe he has. But like I looked at the NBA dashboard, Kelly Olynyk has defended 170 shots within 6 feet, which is most in the league. That I don't think is going really well for the Mavericks, or excuse me, for the Jazz.
Yeah, Jazz 2-7 in their last nine, I think. Adam might have celebrated
too
early.
I need that under to hit. I need that under to hit, man. I know you know. I don't think it will. I think they've done too much already, but I would like that. Brooke is holding players within 6 feet of the rim to minus 11.3% versus their average on those shots against anyone else. So they're shooting 51% against Brooke within that range, which is pretty far and away the best among any player who has defended at the volume he has. The next closest actually is Paolo Banchero, who has held opponents to 51% within 6 feet. Does it a lot less, but shout out to Paolo, who's really, and hopefully can play more and be healthy, but has really had an awesome season for Orlando. But anyway,
the Magic are tanking, dang.
If they had Wemby, dude, like John Hammond is going to just like, that's all he's ever wanted. Wemby at like the two over there. It's going to be, it's going to be fun. Anyway, back to the Bucks, back to the defense. Also, I just think like sometimes maybe we overcomplicate covering the Bucks. They just have like all good to great defenders. The worst defender they play, you know, let's toss aside Mamu, who's played like 8 minutes a game lately. No offense, Mamu. Love you. You know, it's a stacked team of defenders. It's probably Grayson Allen. And Grayson Allen has been good on defense lately. Who are you thinking?
Number 13.
Oh, I wasn't even counting him as... I think he's playing now. Yeah, I guess that's fair. It's probably Wara. Wara's been solid too.
Sure.
Oh, we're going to get into the Wara combo. I don't know. You're not seeing what I'm seeing.
Not really.
Wow.
Tell me the Wara.
We just skip to this now, the Wara.
No, we won't do the entire thing. Just tell me defense.
Oh, he's fine. I don't have a whole. He's been forcing some steals. He's been more active in opposing passing lanes. He's working harder on that end. I think we had generally agreed he went from a glaring negative on defense to like, oh yeah, he's okay. He's fine. I don't think he's good on defense all of a sudden. I think he's okay.
Okay, that's fair.
He fits in better. I don't notice him as much. There's much less plays these last like 2 weeks or so where you're like, oh God, Wara blew that whole thing up on either end. I just feel like he's just like, oh yeah, he's not excelling every game, but he's not like a glaring like, oh God, that's an issue.
I think this Mavs game is just a little too fresh in my head where when he came in, he just got immediately targeted.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's because Chris is not in.
Yeah. And you're playing against Luka.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like in this situation, like the way the Mavs play and a guy like Luka, I mean, he can target a lot of players that normally hold up and then suddenly they won't hold up as well. I will say Grayson Allen held up pretty well.
He did.
We got to talk about Grayson in general. I mean, what a game.
Starts out 7 for 7 from deep.
It's the best. I think it's the only time a player made 7 without missing any in one half in the last 25 years. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. I think according to ESPN stats and info, you keep talking, I'll pull it up.
Regardless of what it was, to start 7 for 7 from three. And of course, you know, these things usually don't carry over. He ends 7 for 8 from three, 8 for 10 from the field. But 25 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, which is actually low. Usually you see him in the rebound category even more. 2 steals and a block, no turnovers. Like really close to a perfect game from Grayson Allen. Exactly what you want to see. Use the athleticism on defense first and foremost. Really fight. Don't give up. You know, force turnovers, which he was doing around the rim. And offensively, just shoot when you're open. That's all you got to do is if you are open and you catch the basketball, let that thing go. And that's what he did. And I think the results speak for themselves. I think 80% of his shots being threes is a little high, but the way he was shooting, obviously, you'll certainly take it. But he had a nice drive in there, too. He got fouled going to the rim. He's looked more in control within the arc, which is good.
Yes, and to clarify, Grayson Allen, this is according to ESPN stats and info, Grayson Allen 7 for 7 from deep in the first half has tied for the most threes made in the half without a miss over the last 25 seasons.
I wish I knew who else.
I know they're not.
Feels like they're kind of slacking there. I would assume Klay Thompson and probably someone random. Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, it's going to be like Dylan Brooks. The Alonzo Trier.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's probably it's Grayson and a bunch of guys against the Bucks.
Yeah, it's Kyle Korver in that Hawks game.
Yeah.
It's funny that Grayson did this against a Jason Kidd coached team.
Yeah, you know, the math does add up on that one. I will say that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So do you think Grayson's playing better because of the trade rumors?
I can't remember who said this. Someone said he looked at the housing market in Phoenix and was like, oh, man, I got to play better. whether it's because of trade rumors or not, it's been a steady progression this entire season. Yeah. We've been seeing him put the pieces together. He's always had the shooting ability. Like, he started off a little cold. But you and I were both confident that that was going to come back. He's a proven knockdown shooter. It's just the rest of his game fitting in with the rest of the Bucks. And that's what we started to see grow. Like you mentioned, his drives. And I'm not even mad that a lot of his shots, like 80% of his shots were outside, because he did get the defense bending towards him on his drives. And you know what he was doing? He was finding guys. He wasn't reckless. He wasn't turning the ball over like you mentioned. His passes were precise. His decision-making was precise. He was making the right reads. He was not trying to finish over two guys at the rim. He was making the good pass. And that's what I wanted to see. Growth. He's more comfortable. He's more determined on his drives. And also, he was hitting shots off movement, Ty. That's something that we pointed out, that he just has struggled with this season so far. Is just hitting threes off movement. But then when he was feeling it was like, oh my goodness, he's just hitting. He can hit threes from wherever now. He was hitting threes from Nina.
He's got good range. He was pulling up from, I'd say, even farther than Brown Deer. Probably
Minocqua.
Okay, let's not. Minocqua was a full quarter. I think that's a little bit too far. After the slow start, Grayson does now lead the Bucks in 3-point percentage and free throw percentage.
Weirdly, he leads the league in free throw percentage.
Well, maybe not now. He missed two for four, which is bizarre. Yeah, that might have cost him. Technically, Pat counted in and shot 100%, but less than one attempt per game in his three games. So I think we'll put that aside for now. Grayson playing well. Would love to see it continue as Chris gets healthy. We know that's been kind of a weird dynamic, but hopefully he can continue to just take and make shots and just not worry about it and fight on defense. That is important too. I will say, it seemed like more than just like getting beat in the Boston series. It felt like the compete wasn't there. I didn't feel like he looked the same. And obviously it's harder against better competition, but I just thought in that Boston series, like, I don't know if it was a confidence thing or what, but he just wasn't even in position, like wasn't putting himself in positions to make plays on either end. So hopefully if he is still on the roster in the playoffs, he will be more comfortable, more able to do that. Speaking of guys who we are excited about being more comfortable, covers, I think, not deep bench anymore, but certainly coming into the year, we would say deep bench for this player and defense, Javon Carter. I don't think we can say enough. Like, I think the crazy thing is, like, everyone around the Bucks Twitter, like, you don't get any pushback if you say something good about Javon Carter at this point. Like, everyone is on the same page. Yeah, he's good. He's just a very good basketball player. I mean, we came in worrying, like, will he play at all when they're healthy? Is he going to find minutes? Is he going to get squeezed out again? Now the convo is he or Grayson going to be the fifth starter? I think most people lean Javon at this point because of what he provides. It's just amazing guard defense. He is third on the Bucks, shooting 41.6% from three, adding 9.4 points per game, 3.5 assists, 2.7 rebounds, and a steal and a half, 2.1 stocks per game, which is not close to the lead on the Bucks because Brooke is at 3.6, but it is up there. Stocks are steals and blocks, if you're unaware.
Not to be confused with the Bucks stock market.
That's
which
true.
You can track at gspn.info and tweet it after every game from at Eurostep Podcast.
Great, great plug. But I think the most exciting thing about Javon is just like, and we really, I think, learned this for sure in that Thunder game. One of the most fun games of the season, of any season, I think, for covering the Bucks. But he's just like, he can do so much on offense. And the league just didn't know. And it's kind of crazy. Like, it's so
fun. He told us that time.
He did tell us. He did. And he told Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It was a focus all offseason. But it's just so cool for this to happen on the Bucks, where it felt like this was like, you know, the Heat. This always happens. The Warriors, right? Like, these other teams that can always just uncover a guy. The Raptors are really good at this. Like, someone shows up who's bounced around the league and suddenly, like, oh, that's their sixth best player now. That must be nice. It's finally happened. Like, it's really real. Thank God Goran Dragic is an awful decision maker.
Thank him every day for that. He's actually been playing pretty well.
He has been playing pretty well. I think it's fool's gold. Shout out to him. But I think we're much better off with Javon Carter.
I think so, too. I think both parties won in that situation.
The original other party did not win.
They were the one person involved in all this who lost on both guys,
which tends to happen with the Nets, it turns out.
But yeah, Javon, like, I think it's pretty clear that he is set to be the starter for the rest of the season. You just the way he plays defense, just, I think it was pointed out after the Philly game last week, but having to go through Drew Holiday and Javon Carter, you lose like 10 seconds of the shot clock just immediately on any given possession because you're just trying to get the ball up. You're trying to bring the ball up the court and then start to get into a set defense. Like, that's part of the gambit here, is you're not letting these teams get into an offensive flow. Let them even get into sets so they can run actions, because all of a sudden there's like 10 seconds left on the shot clock. It's just wearing down the team. This is how this team is built. This team's identity is bulldog defense. I think no one embodies this team's defensive identity more than Javon Carter.
Yeah.
Like, he is just coming out here. He's trying to make life hell for everyone else on the defensive end. And he's just trying to do what he needs to on offense and play with Giannis.
Yeah.
Like, Javon Carter kind of embodies the entire Milwaukee Bucks.
He does. And we said that right on that when we had him on the pod, right? Like, and we talked about before and after that. He is a perfect culture fit. I think that's a lot of the reason why he's been able to take these developmental steps, get even better, and then just really assert himself at the NBA level. And I think, you know, he's not going to be taking 27 shots like he took against OKC. But I like Javon around double-digit attempts, I think, is a good spot for the Bucks. I think this is a guy who, when the team is fully healthy, should be taking at least like 8 shots a game. And the ball should be in his hands. I think the lowest lows of the Bucks recently are like he takes 4 shots and doesn't really touch the ball against Chicago. He ends up with 9 in the Philly loss, but doesn't really handle the rock a lot early in that game. And I think the offense just got stagnant. And in general, I think some of their the Bucks' lowest moments this year have been Drew and Giannis just taking all the shots, no ball movement. And it's just, you know, those guys can just overcome a lot of good defense, but it's making life harder than it has to be. And I thought against Mavericks, it was a great example of move the ball. Look what the offense opens up that way. Let multiple guys get it. You know the ball is moving, right? If Grayson Allen is making 7 threes in the first half. Because he's not creating his own. Like, the ball is moving. They're getting him open. He's moving off the ball. He did a great job of that. And I think Javon really helps that. Like, I think he's a selfless player. He will get his couple of middies per game that he just opens up a lot of space. He has a sneakily very good step back game and sidestep game that, you know, Drew just obviously.
His entire pull-up game is ridiculously good.
And he's comfortable with it. Like, his pull-up threes in transition are insane. Like, he's going fast, and he just, like, stops, kind of skids to a stop because of how fast he's going. But he's just so comfortable, like, any launch angle. It doesn't matter to him. Like, the shot, like, going out of bounds, like, damn near over the backboard. I know Drew made one as well that was great. But, like, Javon hits those, too. It's just he's so comfortable just with any shot on offense. It's been a delight to watch him this season.
It really has. Can't say enough good things about him. It's just it's been a revelation, and I'm glad it's happening in Milwaukee. I'm glad you called that out.
Yeah, and happy it's Javon of all players, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Super, super easy to root for, unless you're a sideline interviewer. No, I think Zora's fine. Yeah,
Zora's
been
having some fun with it.
Yeah.
We'd be remiss if we're talking about players stepping up in depth. And we don't talk about the guy who's leading the league in double-doubles off the bench this season, Todd.
Bobby Buckets.
And I know you've been workshopping a take for Bobby, so let's hear it.
He's become a 1990s basketball player. In the Discord, I dropped in a Tim Thomas 2.0 reference for the longtime Bucks watchers. The three is just busted. And it is kind of a concern. I don't mean to start with the negative with Bobby, but it's like every three is a frozen rope. It's like someone told him you can't go above the backboard. It's out of bounds, which is a thing I did believe as a little kid for a brief amount of time. I was like, I don't know how anyone makes these shots. This is impossible. It wasn't my main sport when I was very young, Rohan. Don't give me that look. YouTube watchers saw me get judged.
Continue.
But yeah, because of the 3-point shot really kind of falling apart for Bobby on the season now, 32.4%, which is not good. And it's not like it with Grayson, and we'll talk about Pat a little bit, where it's just like, yeah, he's you know, getting into the flow, whatever, he's cold. It doesn't look good. It looks too low. He hasn't had many games this year where he's really had good deep volume shooting games. It's not been like a couple bad games bringing it down. It's just been like the shot doesn't look great. But he's doing everything else really well. The rebounding, as you mentioned, you know, it's tied with Giannis for second in the league in double-doubles. Tyrese Halliburton has more, which is awesome. Shout out to Tyrese Halliburton. But the rebounding.
Oshkosh's own.
That's right. Would be such a good buck. Would just be such a good buck. Maybe someday. But Bobby, the double-doubles, it speaks to what he's doing on the glass on both ends. Defensive glass work has been better lately. We know what he does on the offensive glass. His post-game has been really good. Like, he's really able to score from there, which he's needed to do. I think it's nice to see him become a well-rounded enough player that he can survive this really, really tough shooting. I really hope that, you know, he's able to figure something out with the shooting at some point, because this has been kind of tough, and it's not taking a huge toll because everything else has been so good. But I do think, you know, we get to the playoffs, the real season for the Bucks. It will cost them if Bobby's not able to knock down threes at his usual mid to high 30s at least rate.
At what point do we start investigating lethal shooter for crimes against Bucks basketball?
I'm there. I am there.
Because it's been, to be fair, one of his clients on the Bucks has been doing really well.
Yeah, he worked with Grayson too.
Yeah, but Bobby, Giannis.
We don't know. Giannis, I think, is unconfirmed. I think that's a rumor. I think Grayson and certainly Bobby are confirmed.
Yes. But yeah, the shot is a little concerning. But what's, like you mentioned, what's been so good is to see him recognize, like, hey, this isn't working out so well. But he's still managing to find ways to be really, really effective. His little half spin into like a face up hook shot has been money this season. That's been his go to post move. And it's been really, really good, especially on a smaller defender. But he's just been doing really well going inside. He's been run off the line and he knows how to drive, hit that little push shot, that little floater. He's just been super effective. He's been managing to be super effective. If we, like you mentioned, that shot needs to be there for the Bucks to have a very successful playoff run. That spacing needs to be there, but he still has a lot of time to figure that out. He still has a lot of time to fire lethal shooter and get back to his normal shooting ways. But even without the shot, I think he's been finding a way to be very, very effective, and it's very encouraging.
One other thing we should mention, by far looking to have a career high in assists per game. With the Bucks, the first 2 years, he was at 1.1 and 1.2 assists per game. His career high was, before this season, 1.7 in his first big kind of breakout year with Chicago. 2.2 so far. And I have noticed, like, he is making better passing decisions in the half-court offense. Like, some of those games where the ball movement is beautiful, Bobby Portis is a part of that. Whereas earlier in his Bucks tenure, his career, more of those possessions are stopping a pass or two earlier, and it turns into like a Bobby face-up or a Bobby three if he's not totally open. He's making some good reads, keeping the ball moving. I do think it's beneficial. So I will counteract my somewhat negative stance earlier with that. It's been nice.
Yeah, it's been good. Do we have any other Bobby takes?
No, let's get to Wara versus Beauchamp, which I think is worth discussing. I get it. That's just I get it. I don't think Wara is better. I do think Wara is the one of the two they are interested in trading in January, which probably matters here. And also, I think it's good to make Beauchamp earn the minutes in his rookie year. And despite all the exciting moments, and there were plenty, we highlighted them in film. It is great to watch him get a lot of run early this season before Pat gets healthy, yada, yada. He has like two travels a game. He's had a couple of really cold shooting nights as well. Like, it's not like it's been all flawless. And I didn't, you know, we may have touched on it. I haven't really expected to see him be like a playoff rotation guy this year. I wasn't going to go that far because there are just still some things to be ironed out. And I think we'll see him in the rotation again, not just because of tons of injuries, but I think he'll pop back. But this reminds me of like earlier Bud when he would kind of cycle through the wings when he wasn't totally sure. I think Marjan got a chance. War is getting a second chance after giving them some really good minutes like a week and a half ago now. Had some really, really good games, like the best games we've seen from Jordan Wara. I think he's now at the tail end of that. Mamu's kind of sneaking in now. I think we'll cycle back to Marjan. I think he'll probably look better than the last time because he's coming along slowly. He's having to earn the minutes, which is how it should work on a good team. So, you know, I don't think Wara is necessarily better, but I do understand wanting to see more of him and, you know, showcase him a little bit before he becomes trade eligible in mid-January.
Ty, you're not supposed to. This is usually my thing. You're not supposed to convince me the other way. I can't argue with the points you're making here. Like, it's been tough these last couple games. Maybe it's just recency bias. Because like you mentioned, he did have some very, very, very nice games a little bit ago, like the best games of his career. But what was that one game where he had? Like, it was against Cleveland, the first Cleveland matchup, where he had 21 points on 56% shooting.
A steal on the baseline, a couple assists. The assists have been ticking up a bit, too. He had two for how long? And he's had multiple multi-assist games in the last 2 weeks.
I mean, technically multi-assist games, yes.
Two is multi. Two. When you have two over, like, the first 10 games, I will give you two as multiple assists.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Is that a result of him? You know what's crazy is just like Is that a result of him getting more minutes? Like, if he's playing 10 more minutes per game, is that going to get you, like, another assist?
I mean, probably. But no, I'll say this. Like, I think he's fit in better after a long time of him just sticking out like a sore thumb all the time. I think this last, you know, 10, like, 8 games probably-ish, and he's had some bad games in there too, and somewhere, like, at least one, I forget, maybe Philly, where he just, like, wasn't fitting in well at all. Maybe it was Chicago, actually. But overall, in this recent stretch, it's like, oh, yeah, he's a rotation player, which is, you know, a positive change for Jordan Wara. The issue is he's shooting 32% from 2 and 34% from 3, so he's really not lighting it up, which he kind of needs to. That's sort of his thing. So it's like, you know, could he put the two together? Can he shoot like we've seen him shoot in past years where he's 45% from 3 and 45% from 2? If he could do that while kind of, you know, making the passes and rotating and stuff like he's doing now, I think he could be a real rotation player, but it's a big if. So, you know, I don't know if it's goosing trade value or just really wanting to give him a chance after the contract. I'm still not sure what the exact thought process was there, but I do think they're bought in at least getting more of an idea of what he is.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm completely on board if it's just a showcase thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know what? Go for it. Let's see if we can get some trade value out of that. It's just, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit too much. But
on Marjan?
On Marjan. It's like, it hasn't, like, there's been nothing to really, like, sure, he's going to have his turnovers. Sure. Like, yeah, Wara will too. There's been nothing really that I've seen so far where it's like, yeah, Wara's clearly better. He's head and shoulders above what Marjan's doing right now, which is why it's like, why, like, you brought up the Pat comparison for the Wings a few years ago, and that was valid because we saw a lot of times that Pat would just go into these shooting slumps. And then it's like, okay, who's the hot hand right now? Wara's not the hot hand right now. Like, Marjan went out being the hot hand.
He did. Marjan's still 5 percentage points worse from 3, 29%. Also, is rocking a 0.4 to 1.2 assist to turnover ratio this season. I do think we look at Marjan with rose-colored glasses.
I mean, I do.
I do too. And you know, I've said, and if someone may bring this up, I've said there's no, we don't ever need to see Wara play above Marjan anymore. I said that, and then Wara had some of the best games we've seen. And whether it's the fire being lit under him or whatever, maybe he just figured something out. Who knows? It's interesting, but I don't mind them kind of battling it out. And then again, when Chris is back and Pat is fully into the rotation, maybe there's a roster move, maybe there's not. We probably don't see either very often, which is sad for development watch, but happy for the Bucks overall chance to win games because both of them are in the negative on plus minus so far, and you can kind of see why.
Yeah, it's something to monitor going forward because obviously War is on the downward trajectory right now. We'll see if that continues. I say next Monday, because you guys can expect new Eurostep episodes every Monday.
Every Monday.
We'll see. We'll circle back to this and see, is Marjan going to be inserted back into the rotation, or is he just going to continue getting spot blocked by Bud?
I bet. Here's my bet. You know, it might change a little just like with availability of other guys, but let's say, like, given the role that's there for the trio of Marjan, Wara, Mamu, I bet we see Marjan gets to play more in like December, and then around late December and then January, Wara gets the shot again, right as he's about to become trade eligible. That would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, that wouldn't really surprise me either, especially considering we know how Bud is involved in front office dealings. Him and Horst have a little, nice little tag team going. And Milt Newton, of course.
Yeah. So you're just going to name all the guys? Tony
Ballard? Well, I felt bad not including
That's
Milt
fair.
Newton.
That's fair. Include Milt. Good for me.
Let's name everyone.
read off from the books.com.
Yeah, what's Dave Dean up to?
Yeah, Dave Dean's super. Dave Dean's in there. We know this. Yeah.
But yeah, I think I would take that same bet die. Just Wara comes back when he's a little more trade eligible. Maybe he takes his own value because he doesn't want to leave.
The anti-Thon Maker.
Yes, though Thon Maker didn't have to do a whole lot to.
Are you watching the Packer game?
No, I have the score up.
But... Oh, there's the score.
Yeah.
Jordan Love's good numbers so far. Go listen to Talk of the Tundra the same day you listen to this after you finish, of course. And get Newmark and Jordan's thoughts on the brewing quarterback controversy. I made that up. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I can't listen yet because it's not out, but I will be listening. Let's talk about Pat.
Yes, let's talk about Pat. We haven't talked about him since he came back.
Yeah, I think very.
He looks like a guy who just came back from not playing.
Yeah, I think he looks like rusty Pat Connaughton. He's shooting 25% from three. I have no 25% from three. I have no concern whatsoever. I think defensively he's really made an impact, and maybe we're gonna see. Maybe that's, you know, we've talked about Pat is kind of like subtle version of Giannis, and that it seems like every year he comes back with something a bit better. If it's just his overall defensive package, that's gonna be a huge deal for him and the Bucks this year, and I think he could slide into like being a top six most important Buck pretty easily if he's not already. But yeah, the shot is rusty. He made one of those beautiful like corner falling away, catch and immediately shoot off a high pass. He's good. He's going to be there. He's going to be Pat. I have no concerns. It's fun to watch him be back though, even though the shot isn't totally falling right now.
Yeah, it's he knows how to play. Like, I'm not worried at all. Because he just has so much inbuilt chemistry with this core group of guys that he's going to slot in anywhere. He's the prototypical like role player for this team. He can slot in like 2 through 4 and he'll be happy with it. He'll hit shots. He'll get open. He'll move around. One thing that I really liked is his off-ball movement. That first game he came back, the Blazers game, he just like the way he maneuvered around the court. When he didn't have the ball, I was like, this is what the Bucks have been missing from their wing play. Like, Wara's gotten better at it. Marjan's been doing his thing. But just the way that Pat Connaughton does it out on the court, it's like, yeah, this is the gold standard relative to the Bucks. I'll say that. But it's just so nice to have a guy like Pat back out there.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It's been great to see. So, yeah, certainly expect him to get, you know, knock the rust off, look even better. And yeah, love Pat. He's such a good fit. Good for the team. I think the only thing we have left really, Chris, or is there anything else I'm forgetting?
I think it's just Chris. He's the one loose hanging thread at this point.
Yeah.
That's a saying, right?
No.
No?
No.
Loose thread? Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a saying.
Let me have it.
Okay. Yeah. He's the one loose hanging thread.
Okay.
Everybody wants to know, Rohan, when's Chris coming back?
Chris is coming back. Let's see. It's the day. I have no idea, Ty. I don't know. You don't know. No one knows. Chris doesn't know.
Bud doesn't know.
John Horst doesn't know. Milt Newton doesn't know. Dave Dean doesn't know. No one knows.
Does not know.
No one Nobody. Knows. Does anyone know when Chris is going to come back, Ty?
So
he's been practicing with the herd.
Yep.
Recently. That's it. That's
here's
all
the quote. Okay. Here's Eric Name of The Athletic. Obviously the best. I love Jim Ozarski. Eric Name crushes it. Eric Name is really good. I think healthy competition. Eric Name's also been doing it for a long time.
They're both great.
They are both great. And others on the beat are great as well.
Yep.
But you know Eric. I have to say it. I have to give proper credit. He deserves that. You know Eric if you listen to this. Anyway, Eric said, is there an idea how many more times Chris Middleton might need to practice with the herd before he's going to be ready to play, or is there an update on his timeline? Here's Bud. No, there is no specific timeline. But I will say we're getting closer, which I know is vague and old. But
he's self-aware.
Yeah, he knows. Somebody, one of his kids logged on to Twitter and it's like, Dad, they're tearing you up on the Eurostep podcast over this. He said, okay, I'll acknowledge it and then not change it all. Here's the rest of the quote. But I think each time he goes down and gets opportunities, it's another step, another opportunity for somebody that didn't have open gyms, didn't have training camp. There's a lot of things that go into getting ready to play in an NBA game. So he's making good progress. We're thankful we have a herd program. I love that. That's a basketball team, a functioning. We love that we have a herd program. Back to the quote, have the ability to get him these types of live opportunities. He's making good progress. I do think he is making a big deal between the lines here of saying like the readiness to play stuff, which is interesting.
Is it a conditioning thing? Like that's what
that's
I read.
It's a lot of conditioning.
He hasn't played since
May.
April? May?
It hasn't been 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a Kawhi Leonard situation here. I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not saying they should rush him back. I just think it's interesting. Especially because we've talked about he's been playing with the herd for weeks.
Like he's been getting actual 5-on-5 practices.
We think. I don't know if it's confirmed every time, but I mean he's getting more practices. He's doing Bucks practices, probably. I mean, why not?
Well, Bucks practices don't exist.
Yeah, they're very, very rare. But like he's doing that stuff, those workouts, whatever, and then getting more with the herd. It's just like we've seen him shooting. It's a wrist thing. I do wonder, like, is the hammy still kind of an issue? Are we still working on that? I don't know. It's weird. We don't know when he's coming back. All of what we've heard is good. That's all we have to go on outside of the fact, of course, that he's actually still not back, which is not good. But, you know, fingers crossed that he's back soon.
Yeah. Because even though this team is 14-5 and doing really well, we've talked about the depth. We talked about the defense. This team needs Chris Middleton to die. This team's not going anywhere significant without Chris Middleton. So get well soon, Chris. I need to see you just make the opposing fan bases so mad. Like, oh, Chris Middleton's an ex-team killer. Because he's just an every-team killer. Yep. But it's funny because every team thinks it's just them. But when in reality, Chris is just that guy.
Yeah, I there's only like maybe two Bucks games this year where I didn't walk away thinking like, yeah, they just needed Chris. And the losses, I'm saying, where it's like, oh, they just needed Chris and that would have been different. Like, I think they weren't good enough against Chicago. They weren't good enough against Philly. But a lot of the others, it's like, yeah, if you had 20.
And even those are single digit losses.
Yeah, they're close games too. I mean, I just think the level of play generally, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if just you add in Chris and they just really win every game. I don't think that's the case. But I do think, like, they're going to look so much better. Hopefully Chris can get and stay healthy, which has been kind of difficult for him the last year or so, battling a couple of pretty unrelated injuries. But, you know, I think the way Brook is looking right now, you totally understand why the Bucks really want to make sure that they've got him to the right place before he comes back. That's why I say, again, not trying to call out in a negative sense, you know, that the conditioning being such an important thing. I get it, and I think – again, just looking at Brooke right now, okay, take your time and make sure you're doing this thing right. It is just like, I'm so excited to watch him play.
So, so excited. And hopefully there's a chance next time we talk, Ty.
Yeah, so they don't play again until Wednesday. Let me go over injury report stuff real quick. Yeah. The day before a game at 5 p.m., I think it's technically 5:30, we actually see it. NBA media sees, that's when teams have to submit an injury report. And it's noon the day of a game if it's a back-to-back. So unless it's like a Woj or Shams bomb and they get the scoop, if we find out via injury report, it's pretty likely it would be like, you know, around 5:30, 6 p.m. the day before a game. So could be Tuesday night or if it's noon the day of a back-to-back. So we'll see. Keep your eyes peeled for that. I keep seeing people get got by like the NBA app will list everyone as a game time decision or something. You know, you'll see.
Not how it works.
You'll see Woj, Shams, Eric Name, Ty Windish, Rohan Kadi, etc., Jim Ozarski tweeting about it. If Chris's status changes, it'll be a big deal. It won't just like float onto an app. Like NBA media sees these things right away when they come out. So just want to note that as we go here.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good call. Don't get fooled. Don't get got. That's good life advice.
Don't get Trevor got. Listen to Cruiser for a Bruiser.
Nice. That's a good reference. And I think we're all done here, Ty?
I think we're good. I think we covered it. We'll be back in action later this week to talk more Bucks, of course. But I'll let you do this. I'm not good at this part.
No, you're all good. You do it when I'm not here. It's all good. If longtime listeners remember my original outros and how Ty used to compare them to Brooke Lopez meandering through the paint.
Which because is good it was. Now.
It's yes.
Just like your intros.
Oh, Thank you.
Look at that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the EuroSep here on the EuroSep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Make sure you enter the giveaway that Ty mentioned up top. Head into our Discord, which you can find the entry link to at gspn.info, and enter that giveaway in the giveaway channel. And while you're at gspn.info, check out all of the podcasts here on the EuroSep Podcast Network. Talk of the Tundra is going to be going over some juicy Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers. Is this the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers play the Green Bay Packers? Ooh. It might be, Ty. It might be. Streets are telling me that Jordan Love looked really good.
QBR is like 150. That's never lied before.
So make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out Cruising for Bruising. Make time for this. Win in Six, of course, is on this same very feed. And make sure you are subscribed to this feed on your podcast platform of choice. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe on YouTube as well. And pod random. And we'll talk to you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.